ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯ ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತ ಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಂ ಆನದೋಸ್ಮಿ. ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಸಾರವೇಗಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಂ ಅದಿತಿತೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಃ ಪುರಾಣ ಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಂ ಉಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇಲ್. ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಮುಗ್ಧ ಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಲವೇಣು ಕುಣಿತಾದೃದಾನನೇಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಜಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾಂ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರಿಂ ನ ಕಣಿಕಾಪಿ ಕಾಪಿ ಕಾವೀ. ನಮಾವೋಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂಗಳೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮ. ವಂದೇ ನಂದ ವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಣಶ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿ ಕಥೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾನವೇ ನಮ. ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರ ಶಂಖ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾ ಸಹಾಯಂ ಅತಿಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾದಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನೀಷಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ. So, last Sunday we were discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, the last three chapters, 8th, 9th and the 10th. So, at the end of the second canto, there were some questions were raised by Sudha Goswami to Shaunak Rishi. Shaunak Rishi was obviously answering the questions from Sudha Goswami in Nansharanyam. And one of the questions was that earlier in the first canto there was a reference that Vidura had left home and went on a pilgrimage. And since then we haven't heard anything about Vidura. What happened to Vidura after that? So the Sudha Goswami, Shaunak Rishi asked Sudha Goswami, when Vidura went, did Sukadeva Goswami or Sri Shuka Brahmarshi mention anything about Vidura to Parikshit Maharaj when he was talking about the arrival of Vidura back? What happened to Vidura? Was anything discussed between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj? This question was raised by Shaunak Rishi to Sudha Goswami, and Sudha Goswami answered, yes, this was mentioned actually by Sudeva Goswami while talking to Parikshit Maharaj. I have heard that, and I will tell you what exactly happened to Vidura. So actually we can see that in the first canto and in the second canto, after Srimad Bhagavatam, we have discussed who should listen to Bhagavatam and who should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the topic that was discussed in the first canto. What type of person should speak Srimad Bhagavatam and what kind of person should listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. These were the main topics of discussion in the first canto. And there we found there were three categories of the of speakers and listeners, starting from Suta and Shaunaka, one category, Srinarada Maharshi and Vedavyasa Maharshi, another category, and Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, a third category. And we also seen that the difference between each of these three different groups of these personalities, that when it comes to Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, actually Parikshit Maharaj's intense desire to hear about Krishna and preparing himself for death was the actual reason that Parikshit Maharaj is considered to be the topmost listener of Srimad Bhagavatam. By virtue of this one fact alone, that he was inquiring about the most important thing in life, and that is how to prepare for the death. And nobody else has done that. Vedavyasa Maharshi even didn't do that. Even Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, his intention was the welfare of the other people. That means he was suffering, thinking about the suffering of others. That was interesting thing in the Vedavyasa Maharshi's compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. Whereas Parikshit Maharaj was sitting here, fully aware that in a few days' time, his life is over. And before that time happens, what should one do? And this question was churning in his mind very strongly. And therefore, that inquiry is the most auspicious and more the most prominent inquiry one has ever made. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is considered to be the best among the listeners of Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, the person who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam also, like Sukadeva Goswami, is the person who is qualified to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Only by one reason, that unlike Sri Narada Maharshi or even Sudha Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami came to the spot to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, uninvited, but knowing very well, because Tam Sarva Bhuda Hridayam Munim Anadosmi. In the Bhagavatam it says Sarva Bhuda Hridayam, that he is present in everyone's heart due to his high realization of the absolute truth. Because he was so realized, he knew what was going through Parikshit Maharaj's mind. So he felt that this is the time I should be there to talk about Krishna. And because he had that strong desire to talk about Krishna, glorify Krishna to Parikshit Maharaj, he arrived on the scene. And he came and he spoke, and after speaking about Krishna, he left the scene without even saying, bidding farewell to Parikshit Maharaj. This is how Sukadeva Goswami is. That such a personality who is totally realized in the spiritual point of view, such a person should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the three grades of people who listens and talks through Srimad Bhagavatam and who listens to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the topic of discussion in the first canto. When it comes to second canto, the topic moves from there to Mrityuvijaya. Mrityuvijaya means how to conquer the death. This conquering death is a very interesting topic for all of us, because virtually, as soon as we are born, it is a race to death. You can see, if you think about it, that virtually all that what we do in this world, eventually the curtain falls one day. And this race goes from the very moment we were born, we accepted this material body, that race begins towards death. And it's running and running, and one day it collapses and dies and goes away from this world. This is the job of, this is the destiny of every living entity. We are so much controlled by the material nature. So in this short passage of time, we are unaware of our duty, what we have to do. So many things tell us that you have this responsibility, that responsibility. Somebody has responsibility of the family, somebody has got a responsibility of the society, somebody is working on a higher level in the form of a nation, or this, that and the other. So many people have so many plans in their head. But ultimate reality is that every living entity is rushing towards death, and that nobody can change it, no matter who it is. Every one of us is subjected to death. Mrityu sarvaha raschaham. Krishna says, I am that. That death comes in the personified form, takes us away from here. To such an extent, we are under control of material nature. So this living entity who is rushing to death like this, how to win over that death? And that is where the Vedic knowledge comes in. The Vedic literature talks about the process of conquering death. Tamasoma jyodargamaya amrutatva. Amrutatva means freeing oneself from this process of mrityu, or coming out of this cycle of death. And as soon as one gives up the body, he is forced to accept another body in some form or the other. And then that cycle continues again. He has no independence. He has no freedom to act in a different way. He is completely under the forces of the three modes of material nature. So, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says there that under the pretext of the false ego, the living entity is constantly pushed and he is not able to free himself from anything. Karta aham iti manyade, that I am the doer and me and mine, this comes in strongly, unable to free oneself from that. And in that consciousness he works and lives in this world and eventually accepts the different body at the time of death. So in this process, how to get out of that cycle of birth and death, or continuous changing the body. That is what is discussed in the second canto. And in relationship to that, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned to Parikshit Maharaj that basically there are three processes, jnanam, karmam and upasana. Upasana means bhakti. So jnanam, karmam and bhakti, the three processes were discussed there. And in that canto, in the second canto, it was also discussed that Lord Brahma, first who was instructed in Srimad Bhagavatam by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that instructions in a very, very condensed form, he handed that over to Sri Narada Muni. And in course of time, Narada Muni expanded that and gave that to Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa Maharshi expanded that and gave to Sukadeva Goswami and then from Sukadeva Goswami to Shavanakarshi and Sudha Goswami, and like that it has come to this world. So while discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, that the whole the spiritual knowledge, what Krishna handed over to Lord Brahma, which Brahma has handed over to Sri Narada Maharshi, is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Chadushlogi Bhagavatam, or the four verses which refers to the absolute truth, or the absolute knowledge of a, the knowledge of a living entity, what one should seek in this material world, what kind of knowledge one should desire for, and what kind of knowledge one should strive for. And that is what is this Chadushlogi Bhagavatam. So in these four verses, the whole message of the Vedic literature, whole message of the Vedic literature was condensed and presented to Narada Muni by Brahma. So when Lord Brahma, and being a very most intelligent person in this universe, was able to, most intelligent person in this world, was able to present it in such a way, and a great personality like Sri Narada Muni was able to understand the message also. But for us, for conditioned souls, it is very difficult to comprehend all these things. Sometimes it becomes so difficult that ahameva asameva agri nanyadil sadasalparam, that Krishna is saying to Brahma that in the beginning of creation it was only me who existed. And similarly, at the end also, paschadaham yade dacha yoga shishyeda sosmeham, at the end of creation also, it's only Krishna who exists. Everything else has an intermediate presence. That the living entity, we, the spirit soul, who is part and parcel of Krishna, is also existing from the beginning, and we also exist at the end. But in between, from the beginning of the creation, right up to the end of the creation, when the living entity eventually releases itself from this conditioned state, it goes through various experiences, which is at the time, it is in the control of Maya. So, if one understands this statement of Krishna to Brahma, it is impossible to forget that our identity in relationship with Krishna is more important than our identity with the body. Our identity with the body has started only a few years ago, or 10 or 20 years ago, since we accepted this particular material body. So you can see that our identity with this material body is a temporary identity. On the other hand, our identity as a spirit soul is the permanent identity. But somehow or the other, due to the effects of the illusion or the influence of the illusion or Maya, we have fallen into this condition that our identity of the body has taken the priority over the identity of the soul. Or in other words, that identity of our individual spirit soul as the part and parcel of Krishna has completely gone away from our consciousness. Ahameva asameva agri nanyadil sadasalparam paschadaham yadedacha yogashishyeda sosmeham. That Krishna is saying to Brahma that in the beginning it was only me there, and in the end also it's only me who going to be there. So it is in this long, long period, running to billions of years, that all these things what we have experiencing. So the first business of a person who wants to advance on the spiritual path is to understand at this point that he has to identify himself with the soul. Krishna, when he spoke to Arjuna also, he put this point across very strongly. Dehinosmin yadha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tadha dehandara pratir dhirastatra namuhyadi. It is not different. The meaning is more or less the same. It is the same message what Krishna is trying to get across. That dhirastatra namuhyadi, that one does not get bewildered by the change of body. Although it is a very easy statement to make it, in reality, to bring it into practice, it makes it very, very difficult. But still, the fact remains, this is why it is called the spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is such that knowledge is absolute because it's come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Because Krishna has revealed this knowledge, that knowledge has become the absolute nature. So there it is stated, our identity is, true identity is spirit soul. When we have forgotten that, when we have fallen into this illusory condition in Maya, we have identified ourselves with the body, and with the result of that is that we have to accept different bodies again. Once we have come into this material body, our activities begin. Because why? As soon as we accept the material body, our identification with various entities begin. We identify with the family, identify with the society, with the nation, with this, with that. So many identification comes. And as soon as this identification comes, the material modes of nature push us to act in one way or the other. The living entity has no freedom. He just has to accept what has been thrown at him, and he has to continue accepting that. But at some point, when it comes to this understanding that it is this identity, that is false identity that I have accepted with the material body, that is actually encouraging me to accept all these different designations, then at that point he is released from that illusion, or released freedom from that consciousness, or all the false identity. So aham eva asam eva agre nanya dil sadasalparam paschadaham yadidacha yovashishyada sosneham. Krishna says at the end, it's only me who remains, and in the beginning also it's only me who was there. So the living entity is we, as part and parcel of Krishna, also has the same quality in that way. But kṛdeyatam yat pradīyeda na pradīyeda jalpani. So what happens is, when the living entity falls into Maya, that Maya, the identification of Maya, means we ignore or completely miss the point. The point is that our spiritual identity we have forgotten, and our association with the matter begins there. So in the Jnana Margam also, this is the first lesson that is taught to the Jnanis in the early days, to begin this discrimination of the self and non-self. That is how they call it. Atma and Analma. Atma is us, which is the spirit soul, and Analma is rest, everything, what is matter. So when Atma and Analma, when that differentiation begins, or what they call as the Atma Analma Vivegam, or the discrimination between the self and the non-self, when that begins, his spiritual life begins. So then from that point, we understand that the association with the matter has caused this difficult situation for the living entity. Association with the matter means that all this false identification that begins, and when one is situated within oneself, that he is not affected by the three modes of nature, he is not affected by the influence of the time, space, everything. He is free from that consciousness. So the four verses, Chatushloki Bhagavatam, was spoken by Lord Brahma to explain to Narada Maharshi, and Sri Narada Maharshi spoke that in course of time to Vedavyas, and Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke that to later on to Sudeva Goswami, and in turn to Sudha Goswami. So in the third canto, before we begin the third canto, this question was put forward by Shaunaka Rishi to Sudha Goswami, that what has happened to Vidura. Vidura is a personality in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is at that time we are taken back into Mahabharata again. Though in the earlier, in the first canto, we were talking about Mahabharata, when the Ashwatthama fired the Brahmastra to kill Parikshit Maharaj, and at that time Krishna came and protected him. And now we have again going back to Mahabharata at that point to understand what happened in that situation. That you will find there, Vidura left home at some point. Actually, it is a very, very long story in the Mahabharata, when it starts from the Sabha Parvam, where the seed was sown for Mahabharata war by Krishna. That before Pandavas and the Kauravas decided to part themselves, they were trying to develop a relationship with each other. Although externally they were friendly, inside Kaurava's heart, the envy was breeding very strongly by the Pandavas. Basic reason being that Pandavas had all the good qualities of devotees. Not only the devotional qualities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, decided to help Pandavas, and this was becoming a matter of envy for the Kauravas. So it was at that occasion that in Kandava Prastham, where Yudhishthira Maharaj along with the Pandavas were living, they decided to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. And for that Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna was honored as the chief guest, as Sri Narada Maharshi suggested to Yudhishthira Maharaj. It was a discussion between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Sri Narada Maharshi how to honor Krishna. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj one day told Narada Muni, Sri Narada Maharshi was talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj told Sri Narada Muni that Krishna has protected us in all these situations, but what have we done to Krishna? All the time we treated him just like one of us, and we were all interested was in to take all the help from Krishna, but have we any time shown any gratitude to Krishna? Have we any time shown any love for Krishna openly to him? And still, in spite of all that, Krishna has come and protected us and sheltered us in all circumstances. In response to that, Sri Narada Muni told Maharaj Yudhishthira that the greatest fault what can happen in one's spiritual life is when one starts seeing Krishna as an ordinary person. That is where the fall down begins. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if sometime by our own illusion or by our own fall down, if we start taking Krishna is not much different than us, he is another person like us, that is the beginning of the fall down in spiritual life. So Sri Narada Maharshi told at that time that we should invite Krishna for this Rajasuya sacrifice. We will honor Krishna as the Supreme Lord and offer our respects to him. And with that intention, Krishna was invited for the Rajasuya sacrifice in Khandava Prastham. So Krishna came over with all the 16,100 wives and all the children. So you can imagine what a amount of people who have come from Dwaraka to Khandava Prastham. And they were all fed, they were all looked after, all by Krishna's arrangement. Everything was done so nicely. And at the end, Krishna was pleased with the devotion of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Krishna decided after that to go back to Dwaraka again. But when the Rajasuya sacrifice was going on, at the same time, Duryodhan, Shakuni, Dushasana, they were also there in the palace. So this special palace was built by Maya, a demon, who was sheltered by Arjuna when the Gandhava forest was burned. And in gratitude, Maya wanted to do a great service to Arjuna. So he went to Arjuna and asked Arjuna, what kind of service can he offer to in return for the protection he has given? Arjuna was not interested in any sort of service. He just let him go. But Maya again insisted that he wants to perform some service to Arjuna. But eventually, Arjuna asked him to go and talk to Krishna about it. So when he spoke to Krishna, Krishna said to Maya that because he had this special ability to build very magnificent palaces, he asked Maya to build a fantastic assembly hall. And that assembly hall was built by Maya with a very, very opulent way and for the envy of so many people. So this was built, and this assembly house was more or less considered as good as some of the assembly houses in the heavenly planets. To such an extent, it was so opulent in its construction. So anyway, at this point, Duryodhana was there in that palace, and after seeing all that, he couldn't bear himself with envy. So he went back, and before he went back, some unfortunate incidents happened in that palace. That once, it has a special construction that in some places you could see there was water, but there was no water. And in other places there was water, but it appears as though there was no water. So like this, it was so much confusing. And in one occasion when Duryodhana was walking through, thinking that there was no water, he walked through and he slipped and he fell there in the water. Somehow or the other, by Krishna's arrangement, Draupadi saw this from the upstairs. And when Draupadi saw this, she couldn't control herself and she laughed. Not when she laughed, others also laughed who were present there. And Krishna also laughed along with it. So when they all laughed together, Duryodhana could not stand that. Normally, by just like children, when they fall, they don't cry out of the pain from the fall. But they will look and they see if anybody else has seen them. If somebody has seen them, then they cry. It is the same thing happened to Duryodhana also. Otherwise, from the fall, they are not going to affect so much by that. But only when someone sees that disturbs them a lot. Then their pride gets hurt. So the same thing happened to Duryodhana also. But especially when Panjali or Draupadi laughed, Duryodhana could not stand that. He immediately decided that in another instance, if I don't get an opportunity to teach you a lesson in the same way. And saying this, Duryodhan took a vow there. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he saw this, all this happening, he felt very bad about it, because by virtue of his good quality, he did not feel any envy to anybody. Ajata Shatru, as he is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one who has no enemies because of the virtue of his greatness, with that great quality in him. So he felt unhappy that Panjali has done this or laughed at it. But he chastised Panjali and told her about it. And when he spoke to Krishna about it, Krishna said, what is there in it? It is quite natural that someone will slip and fall if somebody laughs at it. What's wrong in it? This was Krishna's argument. Anyway, Yudhishthira Maharaj couldn't say anything further. And at that point, after the Rajasuya sacrifice, Duryodhan left that place with a great annoyance and with a desire to teach Draupadi and the Pandavas a lesson. And he was waiting for that opportunity. In other words, Krishna was actually sowing the seed for Mahabharata war at that point in the Rajasuya sacrifice. That this enmity, which has not come out yet, but it was always inside, was virtually slowly showing up, or it was coming out in some form or the other. So Duryodhana went back to the palace, and the first thing what he did was, he told Maharaj Yudhishthira that he is not very happy with the situation. Pandavas, although they were Pandu's children, that they live much more opulent than me, and I cannot tolerate that because the envy was breeding, and he requested Dhritarashtra that he should have the equal facilities like that. So Dhritarashtra Maharaj immediately organized, as because of his false attachment, as a householder of the false attachment to his own children, that he decided that at that point that we should construct one similar to that, and a similar assembly house was constructed for Duryodhana as well. Even after constructing that assembly house, Duryodhana's mind was never peaceful. All he wanted was he wanted to destroy the Pandavas, because he was seeing this opulence of the Pandavas and the support Krishna has been giving them. And on the one hand, Duryodhana was always thinking that these Pandavas, with the help of Krishna, one day are going to fight against him and they will probably destroy him. He could never match with them. This thought was always in his mind. And he discussed this matter many times with Bhishma, Drona and Karna. And yes, all the people, Bhishma and Drona, gave him the wise advice that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to feel envy for Krishna, rather than surrender to Krishna and take his shelter. But Duryodhan, being envious, and he has got the two right advisors, Karna and Shaguni. And these two special advisors, so-called special advisors of Duryodhan, they were only giving only the wrong advice, and due to his misfortune, that envy started breeding inside. And eventually, Duryodhana was making plans how to beat the Pandavas, how to defeat the Pandavas. Although they couldn't defeat them in a war, they decided to use various devious means. So it was said that they request. Eventually, Shaguni found out a process. The process was to invite them for gambling. So Shaguni invited them for gambling, wanted to invite them for gambling, but officially he can't invite them. Unless the king invites them, which is Dhritarashtra, they had to go and request Dhritarashtra to do that. Dhritarashtra immediately sensed that there is danger going to happen. This gambling ultimately will end up in enmity, that is no doubt about that. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam it mentions that many, many places how gambling is going to cause enmity, and eventually it ends up in serious destruction. So Dhritarashtra Maharaj, King Dhritarashtra, immediately sensed that there is going to be trouble. So he tried to advise Duryodhan about the effects of gambling and tried to persuade him to come out of it. Duryodhan wouldn't relent. And eventually, Dhritarashtra Maharaj had to agree because of the pressure from Duryodhan asked Vidura to come. So when Vidura came, Dhritarashtra Maharaj told Vidura that the children are not in the mood to listen. Neither Duryodhan nor his uncle Shakuni or Karna, who are siding with him, they were insisting that they should invite the Pandavas for a gambling game. So it is in that situation Vidura spoke to Dhritarashtra Maharaj about the duties of a Kshatriya. And Vidura tried to enlighten Dhritarashtra Maharaj, who was also aware to a large extent of the evil effects of gambling. But eventually Dhritarashtra could not say anything to Vidura because of the influence of this spoiled child Duryodhan. So Duryodhan influenced Dhritarashtra to such an extent that Dhritarashtra gave instructions to Vidura to go and invite the Pandavas from Khandavaprastha to come to Indraprastha for this gambling game. So Vidura had to go. That was the situation then. When a king orders something, it has to be accepted. That was the authority of the king. It's not like in the modern government system. Nobody has any authority. If Prime Minister says something, you can go to the court. If court says something, you go to the European court. Then if European court doesn't say something, you go to the queen. Like this, you can mess around with it for as many years as you want, and nobody will make any decision. So it is not the system in the monarchy that the king had the absolute authority. If king said something, king had the total authority to make a decision. And the king's decision was, Dhritarashtra told Vidura that he wanted the Pandavas should come for the gambling against Duryodhana. So he went there, invited Duryodhana and the Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he heard this invitation, he couldn't say no because the king has called for it. Dhritarashtra is in authority and his invitation has to be accepted. So Yudhishthira thought about it whole night. Yudhishthira asked Vidura, who are all there, and Vidura told who are all present there. And as soon as he heard the name Shaguni, Karna, Dushasana, all these names he has to repeat. Immediately Yudhishthira understood there is a very, very devious plan behind it. And anyway, he had to listen because the king has instructed. So Yudhishthira came next day with all the other brothers and Draupadi to Indraprastham. When they arrived there, the whole thing was planned in such a way that they were acting as though they were moving into the new assembly house, and with this beginning was with this gambling game was organized between Duryodhana's arrangement with Shaguni and Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira, knowing very well Shaguni's character, from the very beginning itself, Yudhishthira warned that if he starts playing in a false way or try to cheat in the game, he is not interested in playing. Shaguni promised that everything will go out nicely, but it didn't happen. When the game was over, ultimately Shaguni has won. And Shaguni has won, and in that gambling game, eventually, Yudhishthira Maharaj had to pawn so many things, including his brothers, one after the other, all his properties, the different chariots, horses, and all the army. Everything was pawned in this gambling game. Initially, Yudhishthira Maharaj resisted to gamble. But when Duryodhana put forward the point that when a Kshatriya has invited another Kshatriya to play to gamble, it is his duty to accept that, which is there. So Yudhishthira had to accept on that basis and had to play and to gamble and get involved in this. So anyway, ultimately Yudhishthira Maharaj lost that gamble, and eventually he offered himself and started pawning him, and he lost again. Shaguni's method of playing the game was not at all ethical. He was working from a very falsified way, and he was playing such a dirty game that eventually that Yudhishthira lost everything, and he had to eventually pawn Draupadi also. So Draupadi was living with the women in the palace inside, and when Draupadi was pawned, and he lost Draupadi as well. And at that point, the first thing Duryodhan did was, he told his servant to go and get Draupadi there. So he wanted to go and bring Draupadi there. But the servant was a bit frightened because all these things were watched by Bhima and Arjuna. Bhima and Arjuna were watching this, and Bhima was getting ready and he could not check himself. He was losing his control. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, by his good nature, he managed to keep Bhima under control. And Bhima was sitting there. But seeing Bhima's looks, the servant of Duryodhana got frightened, and he was not willing to go and call Draupadi from the women's palace. It was at that time that Duryodhana asked Dushasana, his younger brother, to go there and to bring Panjali here, because Duryodhana was trying to take revenge of the incident what has happened. Just see, from the Mahabharata you can see so many things. If an enmity is developed between two people, it will last for the whole life. It will never go. Somebody has said something 10 years ago somewhere in some part of the world, we will still keep that in our head. And even an opportunity comes to retaliate, you will utilize that point straight away. This is the human mind. It is the nature of the mind. Mahabharata is presenting us the nature of the human mind in a very, very nice way. that the enmity, once it is sown between two people, between two societies, between two nations, no matter who it is, between two opposing elements, if some enmity is created between two opposing elements, that enmity will breed further and further and further. That is the way this nature of this enmity works. The the inimical feeling builds up in that way. And this is exactly what has happened here. That the that Panjali has laughed some months or years ago in the Rajasuya sacrifice. And this Duryodhan couldn't forget that. It was in his head all the time. I must take revenge. But on the other hand, if somebody does something good to you, with good intention does that, it will be straight away forgotten as soon as you leave the room, that the thing is forgotten. This is also a peculiarity of the human mind. And this is specifically the reason why we are able to forget Krishna so easily. That Krishna has done so much to us, and everything is so good, that in 1 second we can forget Krishna. But in the next moment we can bring back all the things, what has happened to our life, so many 40, 50 years behind, who has done to me what, everything we will say repeatedly, we can, one after the other, day and night, sometimes even losing the sleep, we will think about it and worry over it. But whatever good that has been done, that's been easily pushed aside. That's completely forgotten. This is the nature of the human mind. That is what Mahabharata is saying through this story of Duryodhana. This is what he's teaching us. So Duryodhana immediately wanted to take revenge and wanted to get Draupadi there. There is no principle there. It's a woman, no consideration at all. Draupadi was brought forward. Draupadi asked the servant, Dushasana, that what has happened to Yudhishthira Maharaj? Has he pawned himself? He said, yes. Yudhishthira is already under Duryodhana's custody. Now that you are also, you have to come in. Panjali was not prepared to go, pulled her hair and brought her into the scene. And Bhima was watching all these things from his position. None of them spoke one word. Bhishma didn't say anything. Drona didn't say anything. None of the devotees who were present there. Only one younger brother of Duryodhana, whose name was Vikarna, he got up and started speaking against this. Although born in the Kaurava family, he thought that this was very totally unethical, what was going on. But as soon as he started speaking, Karna pulled him down and told him, he's only a young lad, he doesn't know anything, and completely ignored him, and nobody listened to him, took him seriously. Everybody else kept quiet, because that's how the world is. When somebody does something, one who has got the might to do something, he does it, everyone else will keep quiet. Nobody will bother anything about it. So anyway, Duryodhana at that point decided that he had won what he wanted, now that Pandava is under their control. For some time, Duryodhana, Karna and Shaguni went away from the palace to discuss what should be the next plan of action. They were not expecting to this extent. When this has all happened, their mind were thrilled with joy. Now how to control Pandavas? This was the next move thinking. When they went out, at that time inside the palace, Vidura spoke to King Dhritarashtra, that the things are not going in the right direction. If you continue this way, Krishna, standing behind the Pandavas, will completely destroy this whole Kauravas and everything, the whole dynasty will be gone. And this warning was given by Vidura to Dhritarashtra Maharaj. Somehow or the other, it clicked into Dhritarashtra's head. Dhritarashtra was already aware of that. So using his royal authority, Dhritarashtra decided to release the Pandavas along with Draupadi back to Gandhava Prastham and not worry about it. So he did that. He was released from there, and Dhritarashtra and Yudhishthira Maharaj was pleased with the Dhritarashtra's decision, because after all, Dhritarashtra was like a father for Maharaj Yudhishthira. Dhritarashtra and Pandu, the two brothers, and they were their children. So between the children, this enmity has built up. And Dhritarashtra, due to his unusual attachment for Duryodhana and the children, he was not able to make firm decisions, although he had the best among the advisors, Vidura. So no matter what happens, at the end, Yudhishthira Maharaj was released with the Pandavas, but even while leaving, Bhima was still thinking about his mind was working on how to take revenge on the Kauravas. So Bhima was not much different than Duryodhana in that thing. And this nature of a snake-like nature was there in Bhima. And that was also caused by Duryodhana's activity. That is in another incident in the Mahabharata. It says there why Bhima became so revengeful compared to all other Pandavas. So anyway, they went back there. As soon as they left the palace and went away, Dushasana heard all these things, what happened in the palace. He went outside and informed Duryodhana, Shakuni and Karna that the Maharaj, the king, has taken this decision to release them and they have gone. As soon as they heard this, they immediately came running into the palace, Duryodhana, Shakuni and Karna, and started questioning the king very seriously. What a wrong decision he has taken. What an unfortunate thing he has done. That now that we have annoyed the Pandavas, they will go back, they will prepare themselves for the war, they will attack us, and they will kill all of us. Like that, they started frightening Dhritarashtra about the whole incident. So eventually, Shakuni, standing behind Duryodhana, again wound him up and decided to encourage them to come back for another game of gamble. So this was the second time, and this time Dhritarashtra also, although found it difficult, eventually had to agree because of his total attachment to Duryodhana. And then they again sent another person to invite Yudhishthira Maharaj back to the palace again for gambling. So this time when he went back, Yudhishthira Maharaj immediately understood that there is going to be problem and he better be prepared. But after all, it was king's instruction. Dhritarashtra wants him to come, so he came back again. And it was this time, when the second time the gambling started, that the Kauravas, Duryodhana and the gang, they decided, they put forward new conditions this time, that whoever loses the gambling game, they should go to the forest 12 years, and 1 year they should live in incognito. I think in a way that they should not be allowed to be identified, in such a way they have to live separately. So this 12 plus 1, 13 years, they have to go into the forest. This was the... And if that happens to the Kauravas, they were willing to go in the same way as the Pandavas. So again in this game, Pandavas eventually lost in the game with Shakuni, and they had to go into the forest. So when they went into the forest, this is where the life starts in the forest. And it was at that time, they were living in a place called Upaplavam. Upaplavam was a place in the forest where they were living, the Pandavas, along with Draupadi. Kudidevi was staying with Vidura's, at Vidura's home at that time. That once it so happened that the situation was getting day by day, it was deteriorating. In other words, Pandavas were finishing their 12 years of exile, and 1 year as in they were living separately, that they were not identified by the Kauravas. Yes, by the Ajnatavasam, yes. They were staying separately. And in that time, when Vidura was one day visited them, when Vidura visited them and they were talking to the Pandavas, some by chance, Vedavyasa Maharshi also walked in. And it was then that there was a discussion about how to proceed further from there. The conclusion was that there was no other way except by war that they were going to hand over the land or the kingdom back to Duryodhana, to Pandavas again. So Vidura understood that the things are hot, heating up, and unless something is done, he decided to go and talk to Dhritarashtra about it. Dhritarashtra heard everything, but still Dhritarashtra's mind was not very, very much inclined in solving the problem in the right way. So he decided that he was getting worried about it. And often, during the night time, he will send somebody to get Vidura to pacify him. Vidura will come in the night and he will talk for hours and hours to Yudhishthira Maharaj, to Dhritarashtra, about the duties of a Kshatriya, how to make friendships and how to treat the enemy, and so many things. All these instructions were given by Vidura to King Dhritarashtra. This is known in the Mahabharata as the very famous as Vidura Niti. So Vidura Niti is that discussion about the administration and the qualities of a Kshatriya who is ruling the kingdom, how he should relate with the enemies, friends and others, and so on and so forth. So all these instructions came later on in the Mahabharata, known as Vidura Niti. So Vidura will come and Vidura will give a lot of advice to Dhritarashtra. But Dhritarashtra will tell Vidura that what is the point in telling me all these things? My son, particularly Duryodhan, he is not going to listen to any of my words. Whatever instructions I have given to him is all going to be wasted at the end because he is not in a mood to listen anything. So at that time, Vidura eventually one day told to Dhritarashtra, rather than trying to keep this Duryodhan here, it is better to expel him from the kingdom. Either to expel him, or eventually if you can't do that, the best thing would be to finish him up, to kill him. But for a father, to tell a father to kill his son, is a lot more difficult. So at least Vidura thought that if you can expel him from the kingdom and hand over the kingdom to Yudhishthira, at least the kingdom will be safeguarded or protected. So this was the point behind it. And when he said this to King Yudhishthira, when he was spoken to Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra was not in no way able to do that. So eventually he asked that he call his servant Sanjaya, whom we find in the Bhagavad Gita also. Sanjaya was called in. He told Sanjaya that he should go to the forest. This was Dhritarashtra's plan. He should go to the forest, meet the Pandavas, and tell them that there is a message from King Dhritarashtra. The message was like this, that I have tried to instruct my children, Duryodhana and the Dushasana and others, to give up this enmity and to live peacefully. But it looks to me that the way things are going, sooner or later this enmity will turn into a war. So my advice to you, you are nice, such devotees, you are such good people, that you should stay in the forest and perform some penances and austerities and use your life for some better things rather than fighting with Duryodhana. This was the message Sanjaya has taken to the Pandavas in the forest. Sanjaya was not originally intending to do that. Sanjaya was hesitant to go. But being king instructing him, he had to go. And when he got there in the afternoon, Bhima, Arjuna and others who were present there, they saw Sanjaya coming. When they saw Sanjaya coming, they were all inquisitive to know what message Sanjaya has brought. Sanjaya told them that King Dhritarashtra has asked him to come and he has come with a special message. So all the Pandavas, including Draupadi, they all sat there to listen to the message. The message he delivered to them, exactly like Dhritarashtra has told him to do. As soon as he delivered the message, Bhima looked at Arjuna. And Arjuna looked at Bhima as well. Have you come to tell us these things? This was the face obviously reflected that. And then and there itself, Bhima wanted to finish Sanjaya and not to send him back either for bringing such a message to them. And Arjuna somehow or the other managed to control himself, and Yudhishthira somehow stopped both the brothers for doing anything seriously wrong. And in that message, when it was spoken, Yudhishthira Maharaj had to send back peacefully Sanjaya back to the palace again. When Sanjaya came back to the palace, unfortunately, it was late in the evening, and as soon as Sanjaya returned, King Dhritarashtra called Sanjaya to have the message, what reply he got from Yudhishthira. Because only by knowing Yudhishthira's good heart, he wanted to know what Yudhishthira has responded. Sanjaya was not in a mood to answer everything that day. He was so offended for carrying this message to Pandavas. When somebody knows something, that he is doing something seriously wrong, it's very difficult to carry that message to somebody and on behalf of someone else, when on the moral side, you're not feeling any justification doing that. So that was Sanjaya's position. So Sanjaya didn't want to answer anything. And Vidura was sitting there, along with Dhritarashtra, giving so many advice. And Vidura at that point sent to Dhritarashtra, that it may be better that Sanjaya speak to us about it tomorrow. Sanjaya said that I'll speak about the whole thing in the assembly tomorrow in detail. When Sanjaya answered like this, Dhritarashtra understood that perhaps Bhima has done something something seriously. This was fear was in his in Dhritarashtra's mind, and he couldn't sleep that night. The whole night there was no sleep. And the whole night passed like that. Vidura was talking to him and Dhritarashtra was listening, and constantly he was lamenting that Duryodhana is not taking his instruction and what he should do. This was the question he was asking. Early hours in the morning, just when it was getting bright, Vidura realized that this instruction is not going to work, because Dhritarashtra, who alone can make a decision, is not willing to make that move, nor is able to make the judgment about his own son, and due to his soul attachment to the son, he is going to destroy the whole kingdom. It was then that, due to Vidura's prayers, Sanal Sujata Maharshi, a great sage, walked into the palace at that time. This Sanal Sujata Maharshi then was introduced to King Dhritarashtra, who heard about Sanal Sujata Maharshi before, and Vidura spoke to Sanal Sujata Maharshi about the predicament of Dhritarashtra, and Sanal Sujata Maharshi also spoke to Dhritarashtra about the various things, including the about self-realization, spiritual life. So many things were discussed by instruction from Sanal Sujata Maharshi, and that whole thing in the Mahabharata is known as Sanal Sujadiyam. Sanal Sujadiyam means that verses which were spoken by, it runs into many, many chapters. Sanal Sujata Maharshi's instructions to Dhritarashtra on that early hours in the morning. Even after Sanal Sujata Maharshi has spoken, nothing has happened. Dhritarashtra could not still get change his mind. He had to continue pestering on the same point that Duryodhana cannot be rectified. So ultimately, Vidura realized that there is no more instructions to be given. Whatever instruction can be given to a Kshatriya about this duty, I have done that. And ultimately in the morning, it was just got bright at that time, Vidura ultimately said to Dhritarashtra, one and the only thing I have got to tell you now is that if you want to avoid this war, you have one more opportunity, and that you can do by expelling Duryodhana from here, or this total incarnation of Kali, which is known as Duryodhana, you should kill him right away. This was the advice of Vidura to Dhritarashtra. When this advice was going on, in the about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, our Duryodhana walks in. And when he came in, all he heard was this conversation between Vidura and Dhritarashtra going on. And when he heard this conversation, he thought himself that this my so-called uncle, Vidura, who is fed and looked after by me, and this is his instruction to the king, to kill me or to get rid of me from here. Immediately he called his servants from that point, called them in and told them, get Vidura out of here and get rid of him from this kingdom. Only thing what you have to make sure is, when you leave him, you have to make sure he is still breathing. In other words, you can do anything you want with him, but he should be alive when he leaves the palace. When Vidura came out, these instructions from Duryodhana to his servants were happening. And when he heard that, he said to Duryodhana, Vidura said to Duryodhana, my dear Duryodhana, there is no need to throw me out from this kingdom. I have already made up my mind to leave this kingdom long ago. Ever since, and there is in the Srimad Bhagavatam so many verses, under what circumstances, under what situations, Vidura was making up his mind to leave that home, to walk away from there. You don't have to make that decision for me. I have already made that decision, Vidura said to Duryodhana. Saying this, he deposited his bow and arrow and everything in there, took one blanket, one bamboo stick, a lota, a water pot in his hand, and walked away from there. Sri Shukan says to Parikshit Maharaj, who has walked out now is not actually Vidura. It is the good fortune of the Kauravas who has walked out from that palace. That is how Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj about this incident. When Vidura was the last person in that family, among the Kauravas, who had the intelligence to see that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and trying to fight against Krishna means ultimately bringing destruction to oneself. And this point, the only person who could give this advice was Vidura, and that Vidura has walked out from that palace. And with that, Sukadeva Goswami said to Parikshit Maharaj, there was no other opportunity now to save this family, because the last person who could give that advice is gone from there. Saying this, Vidura took his blanket, took his bamboo rod, and also the water pot, and walked away, grown his beard, and exactly like a sannyasi, he started moving away from there, from the home. And that is how Vidura left the home. So when Vidura left, during this, in between this time, so many other things also happened. Our Vidura had actually lived a life, very simple life. During that time, Krishna himself once came to see Duryodhan and also Dhritarashtra to use his good offices, at least at that point, with a request to avoid the war. And when Krishna came to see King Dhritarashtra, first he went to Vidura's house and he accepted Vidura's service. He accepted Vidura's food, he accepted Vidura's service, and he decided to stay with Vidura. And on the same day, Duryodhan came to know about Krishna's arrival, and Duryodhan came to invite Krishna to come and stay with him in the palace. A special palace, Dushasan's palace, was specifically organized for Krishna to stay. And a very, very opulent arrangements were made for Krishna to live there. Krishna went to see Duryodhan, but Krishna would not accept even a meal from Duryodhan that day. Duryodhan asked Krishna why he would not eat with him. Krishna said to Duryodhan that the person who is offering food, he has an evil thought behind. It's been only done to get Krishna onto his side. And because Duryodhan hated the Pandavas so much, who are so dear to Krishna, and because Duryodhan hated the Pandavas, in turn means he hated Krishna, but he wanted to split them and wanted to bring Krishna onto his side. Only for that reason he has offered this meal and asked him to invited him to dine with him. And because of this, Krishna did not appreciate that and told Duryodhana on his face that he cannot accept it because the evil thoughts behind it. And Krishna refused to eat with Duryodhan, rather went to Vidura's palace and stayed there. Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami one question, that how come, in spite of this, that in that house that Krishna has spent a night, because of Krishna's presence the house has been so purified, how did Vidura manage to leave that house? This was the question Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami. So in reply to that, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned to Parikshit Maharaj that Vidura had to leave. Vidura lived under these circumstances. Although that was such an important place that Krishna spent one night with Vidura and accepted Vidura's invitation and very presence of Krishna. It is more than a temple. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was present there personally and accepted the offering of a devotee, Vidura. That Vidura was forced to leave that place, which was very heartbreaking for Vidura also. But even though it was all like that, Vidura still decided to go away from there. And when Vidura left that palace and walked away on his pilgrimage, he continued that pilgrimage for a very, very, very long time. Many, many years he went away. And then eventually he finished all the pilgrimage and came back. By then, Mahabharata war was over, all the Kauravas were killed, everyone was gone, and all that was left behind. He heard that Yudhishthira Maharaj is ruling the planet from Indraprastham. All this news came to him. And one day, late in the afternoon, just when the sun was setting, Vidura arrived in Vrindavan, Kalani River, Yamuna River. Vidura arrived there and he bathed himself in the river. After bathing himself, he was still a sannyasi. So many years of wandering in the country as a sannyasi, and Vidura got used to it. And when you have left your home, when you leave everything in this world and you are totally independent, and wandering in this world in a consciousness, not attached to this world, it's a very nice feeling. And Vidura has developed that mood of detachment very strongly, as normally any sannyasis will develop. That kind of renunciation was there in his mind. So with that, such a degree of renunciation, Vidura was enjoying that, wandering around different holy places he has visited, and eventually he arrived in Vrindavan. When he came to Vrindavanam, his idea was, he had no special intention. He bathed in the river Kalindi and he was sitting there late late, which was twilight, more or less the sun was setting, and one could not recognize each other. When he was sitting there after bathing, and he was chanting the holy names, and he was performing his sadhana, at that time, one person came down there in a hurry, carrying a bundle on his head, and also a stick in his hand. He came in a rush. He kept his bundle and the stick there, went into the river, bathed himself, and after bathing himself, he cleaned his body and dried up and came and sat down on one of the steps on the river and the bathing ghats. After sitting there, he started chanting the holy name of Krishna. Krishna's name he was chanting. Vidura heard this, persons chanting the holy name. As soon as he heard the chanting of the holy name, Vidura immediately recognized who it was. Although it was happening after many years of separation, Vidura recognized who it was. It was nobody else than Uddhava. So Vidura asked Uddhava, "Is that not Uddhava?" Uddhava, as soon as he heard Vidura's voice, Uddhava also could not resist. He also said, immediately replied back, "Is that Vidura?" He replied back. And as soon as they recognized each other, they embraced each other. And Vidura started thinking, there is no need to see Uddhava in this condition here today. It is so unusual, because Uddhava was always known as a very close associate of Krishna. And here, Uddhava comes here in such a condition that he could not even understand that why Uddhava should be there in that situation. And Vidura recognized this, and there it's what is known in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Vidura Uddhava Samvadam begins from the second chapter of the third canto. So this first chapter of the third canto is this incidence of the Mahabharata background, the war, declaration of the war, and prior to that how this whole thing building up right up to the point that eventually Vidura had to leave home, and Vidura has now come back again. And there was a discussion between Uddhava and Vidura in the banks of the river Kalindi or the Yamuna River, and where that discussion comes from the second chapter onwards, which we'll discuss next Sunday. I'll just read those that particular chapter today.
श्रीशुकवाच एवमेदल्पुरा पृष्टो मैत्रेयो भगवान् किल क्षत्रावनं प्रविष्टेन त्यक्त्वा स्वगृहमुर्ध्विमल् यद्वामयं मन्द्रकृद्वो भगवानखिलेश्वर पौरवेन्द्रगृहं हित्वा प्रविवेशात्मसाल्कृतम् श्रीराजोवाच कुत्र क्षत्रुर्भगवना मैत्रेयानाससङ्गम कदा वा सह संवादम् एतद्वर्णयन प्रभो न ह्यल्पार्थोदयस्तस्य विदरस्य अमलात्मना तस्मिन् वरीयसी प्रश्नम् साधुवादोपब्रंहिकाः श्रीसुदवाजाम् स एव ऋषिवर्योऽयम् पृष्टो राज्ञा परीक्षिता प्रत्याहतम् सुबहुविल् प्रीदात्मा श्रूयतामिति श्रीशुकवाजाम् यदा दुराजा सुसुदानसाधून् पुष्णन्नधर्मेण विनष्टदृष्टि ब्राधुर्यविष्टस्य सुदान् विभन्धून् प्रवेश्य लाक्षाभवने ददाः यदा सभायां कुरुदेवदेव्यां केशाभिमर्षं सुतकर्मगर्ह्यं न वारयामास नृपस्नुषायां स्वाश्रयर्हरन्द्यां कुजकुङ्गुमानीं द्युदे त्वधर्मेण जितस्य साधो सत्यावलम्बस्य वनागदस्य न याजदोदाल्समयेन दायं तमोजुषाणो यदजादशत्रोः यदा च पार्थप्रहितः सभायां जगद्गुरुर्यानि जगादकृष्णाः न तानि पुंसाम् अमृतायनानि रजोरुमेने क्षतपुण्यलेशाः यतो बहुदो भवनं प्रविष्टो मन्द्राय पृष्टः किल पूर्वजेन अदाह
தன் மந்திரதிருஷாம் வரியன் என் மந்திரினோ வைதுரிகம் வதந்தி அஜாதசத்ரோ பிரதியச்சயாயம் திதிக்ஷதோ துர்விஷஹம் தவாக சஹானிஜோ யத்ர மிருகோதராஹி ஸ்வசன் ருஷாம் யத்வமலம் விபேஷீம் பார்த்தாம் ஸ்து தேவோ பகவான் முகுந்தோ கிரகீதவான் சாட்சிதி தேவதேவாஹ ஆஸ்தே ஸ்வபுரியம் யது தேவதேவோ விநிர்ஜிதா சேஷனு தேவதேவாஹ ச ஏஷ தோஷத் புருஷத்விடாஸ்தே கிரகான் பிரவிஷ்டோ யமபத்யமத்யாம் புஷ்ணாசி கிருஷ்ணாத்விமுகோ கதஸ்ரீ ஸ்தியஜாஸ்வசைவம் கிரகௌஷலாயாம் இத்யூஜிவம் ஸ்தத்ர சுயோதனேன பிரவுர்த்தகோபஸ்புரிதாதரேண அசல்கிருதஸ்புல்ஸ்புரணீயசீல க்ஷத்தா சகர்ணானுஜசௌபலேன க ஏனமத்ரோபஜுஹாவ ஜின்மம் தாஸ்யாசுதம் யத்பலினைவ புஷ்டாஹ தஸ்மின் பிரதீவ பரகிருத்யமாஸ்தே நிர்வாஸ்யதாமாஷு புரா சுசானா ச இத்தமத்தில் பணகர்ணபானே பிராதுர்புரோர் மர்மசுதாடிதோபி ஸ்வயம் தனுர்த்வாரி நிதாயமாயம் யதவ்யதோ யாதுருமானயானாம் ச நிர்கதா கவிரவ புண்ணியலத்தோ கஜாஹ்வயா தீர்த்தபத பதானி அன்வாக்கமல் புண்ணியஜெயிஷயோர்வியம் ஸ்வாதிஷ்டிதோ யானி சஹஸ்ரமூர்த்தி புரேஷு புண்ணியோபவனாத்ரிகுஞ்சி சுபங்கதோயேஷு சரில் சரர்சு அனந்தலிங்கை சமலம் கிரதேஷு சஜார தீர்த்தாயதனேஷு நன்யாஹ காம்பரியடன் மேத்ய விவித்த விருத்தி சதா ப்ருதோத ஷைனோ வதூத அலட்சித ஸ்வைரவதூத வேஷோ வ்ரதானி சேரே ஹரிதோஷணானி இத்தம் ரஜன் பாரதமேவ வர்ஷம் காலேன யாவல் கதவான் பிரபாசம் தாவச்ச சாச ஷிதிமேகச்சக்ராம் ஏகாந்த பத்ராம் அஜிதேன பார்த்தாஹ தத்ராவசுஸ்ராவ சுஹ்ருத் விநஷ்டிம் வனம் யதா விநுஜவன்னி சம்சயம் சம்ஸ்பர்தயா தக்தமதானுஷோஜன் சரஸ்வதிம் பிரத்யகியாய தூஷ்ணிம் தஸ்யாமிருதஸ்யோசனசோ மனோஸ்ச பிருதோரதாக்னேரசிதஸ்ய வாயோஹ தீர்த்தம் சுதாசஸ்ய கவாம் குஹஸ்ய யஸ்ராத்ததேவஸ்ய ச ஆசிஷேவே அன்யாய ஜேஹத்விஜதேவதேவை கிருதானி நானாயதனானி விஷ்ணோஹ பிரத்யங்க முக்கியாங்கித மந்திராணி யத்தர்ஷனால் கிருஷ்ணமனுஸ்மரந்தி ததஸ்துதிம்ரஜசுராஷ்டமிருத்தம் சௌவீரமல்ஸ்யன் குருஜாங்கலாஸ்ச காலேன தாவத்யுமனாமுபேத்ய தத்ரோத்தவம் பாகவதம் ததர்ஷாம் ச வாசுதேவானுஜரம் பிரசாந்தம் ப்ருஹஸ்பதே ப்ராக்மதயம் பிரதீதம் ஆலிங்க்ய கானம் பிரணயேன பத்ரம் ஸ்வாநாம பிருச்சல் பகவல் பிரஜானாம் கச்சல் புராணோ புருஷௌ ஸ்வநாபியாம் பத்மானுவிருத்தேஹ கிலாவதீர்ணௌ ஆசாதமுர்வியாம் குஷலம் விதாய கிருதக்ஷணோ குஷலம் சூரகேஹே கச்சில் குருணாம் பரமசுஹர்ணோ பாமஸ்தமாஸ்தே சுகமங்கஷௌரி யோ வை சுசிருணாம் பிதுவத் ததாதி வரான் வதான்யோ வரதர்ப்பணீனாம் கச்சில் துவரூதாதிபதிர்யதூனாம் பிரத்யும்னமாஸ்தே சுகமங்கவீர யம் ருக்மிணி பவதோபிலே பகவதோபிலேபே ஆராத்ய விப்ரான் ஸ்மரமாதி சர்கே கச்சில் சுகம் சாத்வத வ்ருஷ்ணி போஜம் தாஷார்ஹகானாம் அதிவாசமாஸ்தே யப்யஷிஞ்சதபத்ர நேத்ரோ நிருபாசனாஷாம் பரிஹிருத்ய தூரால் கச்சித்தரே சௌமியசுதசதிருக்ஷ ஆஸ்தே கணீரதினாம் சாது சாம்பாஹ அசூதயம் ஜாம்பவதி விரதாட்யாம் தேவம் குஹோயாம் விகயோ த்ருதோக்ரே க்ஷேமம் ச கச்சித்வைதானமாஸ்தே ய ஃபல்குனா லப்ததனூரஹஸ்ய லேபேஞ்ச சாதோக்ஷவஜ சேவையைவ கதிம் தரீயம் இதி விராபம் கச்சில் புத ஸ்வஸ்தினமைவ மாஸ்தே ஸ்வபல்க புத்ரோ பகவத் பிரபன்ன ய கிருஷ்ண பாதாங்கித மார்க்கபாம்சு ஸ்வஜேஷ்டத பிரேம விபின்ன தைரியாஹ கச்சிச்சிவம் தேவக போஜ புத்ரியாம் விஷ்ணு பிரஜாயாம் இவ தேவ மாது யா வை சுகர்பேண ததார தேவம் த்ரையதா யஜ்ஞவிதானமர்த்தம் அபிஸ்விதாஸ்தே பகவான் சுகம்மோ யசாத்வதாம் காமதுகோ நிருத்தா யமாமநந்தி ஸ்மஹ சப்தயோனி மனோமயம் சத்வதுரிய தத்துவம் அபிஸ்விதன்யேஜ நிஜாத்மதெய்வம் அனன்யவிருத்தியா சமனுவ்ரதாயே ஹிருதீக சத்யாத்மஜரு அத்யாத்மஜாரு தேஷ்ணம் ததாதய ஸ்வஸ்தி ஜரந்தி சௌம்யாம்
അഭിസ്വദാഭ്യം വിജയാച്യുതാഭ്യം ധർമ്മേണ ധർമ്മ പരിപാലിസേതും ദുര്യോധനോദപ്യതയൽ സഭായം സാമ്രാജ്യലക്ഷ്മ്യാ വിജയാനുവൃത്യാം കിം വാ കൃതാഖേ ശഖമത്യമർഷി ഭീമോ ഹി വദ്ധീർഘതമം വിമുഞ്ചൽ യസ്യാംഘ്രിവാദം രണഭൂർണസേഹേ മാർഗം ഗദായാശ്ചരതോ വിചിത്രം കച്ചിദ്യശോധാരതയൂഥപാനം ഗാന്ധീവ ധന്യോപരദാരിരാസ്തേ അലക്ഷിതോ യച്ഛരകൂടഘോഷോ മായാകിരാതോ ഗിരിശസ്തുതോഷാം യമാവുസിത്തനയോ പ്രധായ പാർത്ഥൈർവൃതോ പശ്മഭിരക്ഷിണീവ രേമാതമുദ്ധായ വൃതേ സ്വരിക്തം പരാൽ സുവർണാവിവ വജ്രിവക്ത്രാൽ അഹോ പ്രതാപിദ്രിയദേർഭകാർത്തേ രാജർഷിവര്യേണ വിനാവിധേന യസ്വേകവീരോധിരതോ വിജിഗ്യേ ധനുർദ്ധനീയ കുകുപശ്ചതസ്രാഃ സൗമ്യാനുശോചേ തമഥ പദന്തം ഭ്രാത്രേ പരേതായ വിദുദ്രുഹേയ നിരാവിതോ യേന സുഹൃൽ സ്വപുര്യാം അഹം സ്വപുത്രാൻ സമനുവ്രതേന സോഹം ഹരേർ മർത്യവിഡംബനേന ദൃശോനൃണാം ചാലയതോ വിധാതു നാന്യോപലക്ഷ്യ പദവീം പ്രസാദം ചരാമി പശ്യൻ ഗത വിസ്മയോത്രാം നൂനം നൃവാണാം തൃണതോൽപഥാനം മഹീം മുഹുശ്ചാലയതാം ചമോഭി വധാൽ പ്രപന്നാർത്ഥ ജിഹീർഷയേഷോ ഉപേക്ഷതാഹം ഭഗവാൻ കുരുണാം അജസ്യ ജന്മോൽപഥനാശനായ കർമാണ്യകർത്തൃഗ്രഹണായ പുംസാം നന്വന്യതാ കോർഹരി ദേഹയോഗം പരോ ഗുണാനാമുദകർമ്മതന്ത്രം തസ്യ പ്രപന്നാഖില ലോകപാനം അവസ്ഥിതാനാമനുശാസനേ സ്വേ അർത്ഥായ ജാതസ്യ യദുഷ്വജസ്യ വാർത്ഥാം സഹേ കീർത്തയ തീർത്ഥകീർത്തേ ഇത് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ തൃതീയ സ്കന്ധേ വിദുരോദ്ധവ സംവാദേ പ്രഥമോധ്യായം So that is the end of the first chapter, and in the next three chapters Vidura and Uddhava, they had a long discussion about Krishna and the circumstances in which Uddhava has arrived there, and the anxiety of Vidura of the departure of Krishna from this world. All these things are in the next few chapters.
3, 4, 5.
Which will, yes, 3, 4 and 2, 3, 4. And 5, yes.
So only the first chapter now?
Yeah. So, which we'll discuss next Sunday. So, if any questions or comments, please.
Maharaj, Yudhishthira, although he has a very intelligent thing, why he couldn't consult Krishna before he goes to Gambia?
Yeah. This is showing us that Krishna has decided to finish this, to have this war happen. And all these personalities, Yudhishthira, Bhishma, Drona, Arjuna, they are all completely under Krishna's control. They are acting. And what you can see here is that a certain independence which Yudhishthira had to think and act, he could not do it. Because in this particular instance, Krishna has prompted him from within to go. In the Upanishads there is a statement, how the living entity, the soul, and the super soul interacts between each other. The super soul is witnessing everything, all our activities. And the living entity is making the decision all the time. The decision is made by the living entity. Super soul is witnessing everything inside. Therefore, they are considered just like two birds on a tree. It is the same story from the Upanishads that is gone into Bible, which comes as Adam and Eve. And eating, even the fruit has not been changed. The fruit mentioned as apple, in Sanskrit bhasha, it is known as pipal. Pipal is apple, it's the same thing. And the pipal fruit, what has been spoken about in the Upanishads as the fruit, is the same fruit mentioned as in the Bible also. It's the same story that comes in the beginning of creation as Adam and Eve. So, there, it says there, that the living entity has a certain freedom to make certain decisions. And when
the super soul is misguiding that living entity in a wrong direction, he cannot do very much about it. He is so much controlled by the super soul from inside. So that is why Krishna has two sides. One is known as knowledge and the other side is ignorance. Both are coming from Krishna. Many people have this understanding, only the good thing comes from Krishna, all the bad things come from somewhere else. But that's not the Vedic conclusion. Vedic conclusion is, good or bad, no matter what it is, everything is coming from Krishna. Knowledge is known as jnanam and ignorance is known as ajnanam. So jnanam and ajnanam. And in all the big temples, when the deity worship goes on, when the offering is made to Krishna, the offering is made like this. First it will say, Om Jnanaya Namah. And with that flowers are offered to Krishna and the bhoga also. And the next, as soon as it's done, the next offering is Om Ajnanaya Namah. So Jnanam and Ajnanam, or otherwise knowledge and ignorance, is coming from Krishna. You can't, because there's nothing outside Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna. So similarly, what we call as knowledge and ignorance is in English, but in the Sanskrit there are various words reference to that. Jnanam and ajnanam. Vivegam and avivegam. That means discrimination and inability to discriminate. Vidya and avidya. All opposing things. Every single thing is coming from Krishna. Therefore, during the deity worship also, in the big temples, when they worship the deity, various mantras are chanted. And as soon as Om Ajnanaya Namah, Om Ajnanaya Namah, I don't know, it's either way also. First Om Ajnanaya Namah, immediately it is followed by Om Ajnanaya Namah. And that is how the flowers are offered to Krishna. And the principle behind is this, that all the time, whether it is right or wrong, it's actually coming from the Super Soul. Super Soul is using us in every instance. We think we have a lot of freedom, but we think like that. But in reality, we have no freedom. From inside, according to one's karma vasana or one's own karmic reactions, what he has created, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, present inside the heart as the Super Soul, is guiding that person through different circumstances. He hasn't got much freedom to act in a different way, to break away from that. That is precisely the reason that always a person who comes to know that death is waiting for him at the doorstep